You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I have to tell you something. Something insane. But true. About all of us. It started a long time ago.
Back in 1977, they detected a sequence. Called it the Wow Signal.
What's it say?
They are coming.
Who are they?
That's the question, right? Oh, hello, darling.
When your consciousness ends in one world, it could continue to exist in many other worlds.
What do you think is happening?
Well, hello and welcome to the three bodies that are going to give you a problem tonight.
Hey.
Yes, it's Dion, Peter and Quinny. Guess which one is the most problematic?
Yeah, I know which body has the biggest problem, that's for sure.
Exactly. Out of these three bodies, which one is problematic? Oh, yeah, and I know I forgot to turn the thing on. Damn, my joke is all gone. Yes, that's fine. Okay, look, you just listen to the podcast. You'll get the joke that we started with. It's fine. welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. It's three of us. We're back, and we're talking about some body horror problems. Are we not? No, we're talking about three body problem.
We are. Peter, how are you?
Me? I'm trying to be as unproblematic as possible. I don't know why we're promising problems. Jeez.
Oh,
let's try starting positive.
But you know, it's important that we start with a problem. You're a scriptwriter. You know this. Start with a problem and then just keep throwing problems at it until the characters either overcome the problems or die. That's how you write.
No, you don't need to keep. You don't need to solve any problems. It's just more problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three body problems. Three timing problems. Three scripting problems.
Three racial diversity problems. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. I like that, Rob. Sorry, thanks for that. Yeah, three body solutions. No, we're solution oriented here. Like, this show has three body problems, and we're going to offer you tonight by the end three body solutions.
I mean, if you've read the book, you know that ain't going to be the case. If you've finished the series, you know that there aren't many happy solutions. But you know, we will get there. And when we hit spoilers, we're gonna be talking about a lot of that. And it's an interesting one, that's for sure.
It was definitely fun for Easter.
Just a light watch for a weekend where I had to be aunt to six kids.
Yeah. Six?
Oh, wow.
Just a couple of short episodes that you don't really have to pay attention to. It's
not at all. Certainly lots of not lots of stuff that's subtitled, not lots of stuff that requires you to view very carefully and not, you know, double screen it or anything like that. I watched this from my hospital bed, usually
really?
Through a haze of various different drugs. Let me tell you,
Quinny, when were you in hospital? I don't remember any of this.
No, well, yes, for the past 3 weeks, I guess. I don't know, since the 19th.
Barely away. Noticed you were gone.
Good. I'm glad. I'm also very glad that you guys got to go and talk about Ghostbusters. I'm almost glad I wasn't here because
really?
There would have been discussion. My word.
Oh, there is a little bit of discussion, but can I just get, like, is it a yay or a nay for Ghostbusters?
For me, it was a yay. Like, yeah. It was, this is a film that I'm very excited to watch. It's a bit of a mess anyway.
So you're having like,
but that's not what we're talking about.
You're having like a Star Wars moment for me. It's like, I'm very committed and invested in the franchise. Oh dear.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there.
Sure.
Which I will talk about to my heart's content on another podcast that isn't this one, because this one we're talking about the three-body problem.
Sure.
Which is very interesting.
Is it?
So I want to know, did you guys hear about this?
Netflix kept showing me clips.
Really?
I just wouldn't stop showing me clips. And then I tried to watch it and I got like 10 minutes in and I was like, no, this is dense and I want to watch the second screen at the moment. And then you guys made me watch it.
Like all good things, you are harassed.
And then Quinny was like, I've read the book. And I was like, there's a book?
There's three of the fuckers. So my experience of this one is about nearly a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Somebody said, hey, you should have a listen to, or you should read this. And I went and found it on Audible. And I listened to the first book as an audiobook, which was fascinating because it was, you think the fucking TV show is dense. Ooh.
Right.
Yeah, the TV show is doing its level-headed best to make this as light and frothy and cheese, you know, cheesy, yummy, yum, yum as it possibly can.
The Netflix one is the light version.
Yes, my
the
word.
Netflix one is the accessible version.
My word.
Amazing.
And it's the first book in a trilogy of books, which is called Remembrance of Earth's Past Trilogy.
Right.
Yeah. Written by Li Shijing, which is interesting because it is a Chinese science fiction story that has been broadly acknowledged and for the first time in a long time taken on by the West and the rest of the world and gone, that's an interesting way of looking at things.
Yes. Which is great because we all like the fact that stories can be told anywhere.
Yeah. It's fascinating because, and when I was listening to it, reading it, whatever you want to say, I had this thing of going, so this is from a very different cultural perspective. Like, and that's something that I'm not sure comes across as cleanly in the Netflix one, that so much of the ideas and the concepts of the big sci-fi that they're talking about is coming from a very different cultural background. That it's coming from communist China and also a collectivist society. And if you start to sort of look at how China operates as a giant collective, and how it doesn't necessarily look at the single hero concept. That's something that they, you know, through a lot of their storytelling, they try and sort of move away from. This is a very interesting story. Anyway, I'm fucking going off on a thing.
Well, you seem to be the one who knows the most about this, Q.
Well, yeah, I've read a book and I've watched a show.
I've read a book.
And I also... 6 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, had a go at watching the Chinese version of the show. And that's something that is truly fascinating. It's so rare in this day and age that you can watch two very well-made, high production value, big budget TV shows based on one novel by two completely different production companies. That come from totally different backgrounds. It's real weird watching the Chinese version.
Right. Also, the Chinese version has 30 episodes.
Yeah. And the Chinese version is having a much better tilt at trying to adapt the book.
As like a direct adaptation.
Yeah. It's not shying away from a lot of the real heavy science-y shit.
Yeah.
But it also has a bunch of other stuff that is a lot less interesting and quite boring, so go figure.
Peter, from your vast experience and background in physics, can you help explain what a three-body problem is?
From my vast experience of watching the explanation in the TV series.
No, I meant just as your background, as a Nobel laureate and Oxford graduate in physics.
Well, here's a bit of a question. Is explaining what a three-body problem is, according to the show, in a way a spoiler that we should be avoiding?
Well, I mean, you know, it's more of a concept. It's not really a spoiler unless you relate it directly to the point. But can I sort of...
I don't know what you're getting at, so I'm just going to let you do what you're thinking is,
look,
is
I mean,
the good explanation here.
If you're going to get too technical with us, Quinny, do you have an explanation about three-body problem?
I have a synopsis for the TV series.
Oh, yeah, that's the sort
will
of
that
thing
do? We're
after. Yeah, yeah, that was what I was going for.
Yeah, that one won't actually tell you what the three-body
sure?
problem is just yet.
Sure.
Do we have any musical accompaniment to this?
Sure.
Is it something from the Chinese Revolutionary Party or anything like that?
No, it's very bog-standard theme title music. That's
okay.
Going, you know, heavy piano lets you know you're in for a serious bit.
Yeah, this is the bit where it's like, is this Westworld again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Almost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what voice? Shit. I forgot the shit accent. You've been going away too long.
Shit.
I haven't done it.
Well, okay. I mean, in this one, I think we should probably steer a long way away from the shit accent of being a Chinese.
The request is Liam Cunningham, Irish. Thanks, Q.
Right.
And you've got to say, and you've got to say, Your Grace at the end. Wait, that's a bit Scottish. Your Grace.
Right. So the story begins in 1960s China, when a young woman makes a fateful decision that reverberates across time and space and into the present day. Your Grace. When the laws of nature inexplicably unravel, a tight-knit group of brilliant scientists must join forces with an unflinching detective, or as we call him, Wongers, to stop humanity's greatest threat. Mm. Also, I'm going to be gruff and very angry through most of this, but also perhaps the only one who actually really thinks through the problem. Who knows?
Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm picking up a certain level of energy from y'all.
Look, it's a dense sort of thing, and I got to say the series is difficult. It's difficult to access. I mean, this is an adaptation from like David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who did the Game of Thrones adaptation. You know, what are they going to do after that? You know, and they've come across and they're like, hey, we've got something that's even harder to adapt, and we're going to make it mildly entertaining for at least 4 episodes. Then we're going to fuck on everything we've ever done in a pure body horror episode. And then we're going to try and resolve all of this very neatly-ish. So there is room for a sequel, and yet it does have some high sci-fi concepts that go through it. Does that make sense?
I think that's relatively accurate.
Because I got to admit, like, you know, even though three-body problem was, you know, not a choosing of Peter's, perhaps I put my foot in it by going, we should do three-body problem. And then I started watching it going, oh, I've made a terrible mistake.
Because at that stage I was like, oh no, I've already tried to start watching that twice and failed.
But, you know, like after you get through a few episodes and it starts to make a little bit more sense and you're like, okay. All right, and then it starts going into the, okay, this is just hard sci-fi. Right, like it's kind of a misdirect, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So to explain a little bit more, The Three-Body Problem is only the first book of the trilogy. And what they've done here in much the same way as they adapted Game of Thrones is they've grabbed the first book, and then they've kind of taken a few bits out of later books as well, just to try and make it a little bit more kind of feeling like there is some kind of an ending. And the good thing is the trilogy is done. There is an end. So we're not going to get a Game of Thrones situation where the last season is just...
The books are written.
Making it up.
The books are written.
Yes. Yeah. They all exist and that's fine. There is a story. It does have an ending. We're all good. Thanks very much. This one very much is pretty much just the first book, and they've done that fucking dangerous thing with Netflix where they've gone, hey, we're going to make a series. Maybe we'll get the next part. I'm like, guys.
It feels like this is more of an Apple TV thing. Like, I feel like they could have pitched this to Apple. And it might have just been Apple could have agreed to like, oh yeah, you can have, you know, six series or at least three series, one series on each book, off you go, no problem. Yeah, but this one does kind of feel like, hey, we're doing all of this sort of stuff, and like, ooh, will we get a second one? It's like, I don't know. Maybe.
And like, it's unapologetically weird. That's the thing that scares me. Like, I'd like to see them finish the story off. I think, like, you know, it sets up enough really big, interesting questions that I'd like to see them finish it. But also, it's fucking weird. It makes no bones about the fact that it's a very weird fucking story.
And it's also, I love the fact that none of this show rests on a known headliner or cast. It's a true ensemble piece, you know, which is, it's nice. Like, you know, it's kind of fine. That's refreshing. It's got some big hitters in there. You know, you've got Jonathan Pryce in there. That's kind of nice. And people that you remember from Game of Thrones and go like, that's that guy from The Thing. you know, just to make sure that you're remembering it. And as you said, Quinny, Wonga's in his multi-dimensional,
I'm so down for Wong.
Sure.
I like grumpy, like smoking everywhere that he shouldn't be smoking Wong.
But most of the other people that are in there, you're kind of like, I don't know who to follow. And even by the end of the series, I was like, wait, I'm supposed to follow that one? I didn't know that. I would have paid more attention to that one at the start if I had have known I was supposed to be following that one. But I was following this one.
So who were you following? Who did you kind of glom onto as essentially the lead character?
I don't know any of their names.
Augie, the filament lady?
Yeah.
What? No.
This is what I was interested in, because... Yeah. Not everybody is going to latch onto the same characters.
No, Jin Cheng was like the main thread, well, at least in the seven episodes of it that I have watched, although I suspect that Saul may have more to do in the last episode.
Right, okay.
Because
he's just kind of been hanging around for this entire time.
You are absolutely correct.
Having a chat, you know.
Yeah, he's there to be a good, you know, emotional sounding board friend for all the other characters. And maybe we should go and hang out on the beach. And by beach, I mean some rocks.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is just kind of, it is kind of funny. It's like, I feel like it's almost shot in a Big Brother-esque or reality TV version where they've got the entire cast there. And they're doing the first read through, and they're like, so who's kind of, you know, which stories are you following? And it's like, we don't know. You'll figure it out.
We're like, going to work it out as we go.
Yeah, yeah. Guess what? You know, this character who has basically done nothing the entire time is a pivotal character. Why?
You know that character that you started following right at the start, who does like the big thing that sets all that in motion? Don't worry about her.
Yeah. Just. Yes, we don't.
That might be a thing. Probably won't. I don't know.
Will they come back? Was that important? No. But you spend like a whole episode, like sort of doing the whole thing of like, I can see numbers in the sky. Cool.
Yep.
Is that
actually going to come back? Nah.
No.
I mean, we'll talk more about that later. There are some butt wives for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, there are some. And it's so hard with sci-fi because there's so much suspension of disbelief in just kind of like, no, no, we're like setting up a world and don't think too hard about the science.
And that goes
then
to
there
you
are some
too,
bits
Austin.
That kind of like, no, no, yeah. no, this doesn't make any sense at all.
I love that you're like, sense. You know, oh no, this show is about don't think too hard about the science. And yet it literally has an entire plot of think hard about science.
Well, at least it's not Tenet that literally says, don't think too hard about it.
Yes. Yes.
This is Austin Powers.
Yeah. That goes for you too, Austin.
Yes. Don't think too hard about it.
It's a difficult balancing act, and I'm not sure that they were managing their plate spinning particularly well, because it, like, the book and everything is so very much reliant on the science. Like, it's all about the importance of science, you know, and I guess the Chinese one probably kind of makes it a little bit clearer, perhaps, that, you know, so much of it at the start is, so the initial hook is that scientists are committing suicide all over the world. And the reason that they give is because physics is broken. Like, science doesn't work anymore. And they can't reconcile that fact. That then becomes, you know, the hook that hopefully drags you through the rest of it. But yeah, it's all about science and hard science and, you know, big kind of what if science.
And I find that just it's like that as a basic premise is interesting to me, because I feel like if I were to put out into the news tomorrow that science is broken and a bunch of scientists are committing suicide, a majority of this planet might at this stage be like, eh. You know, which is kind of hard. I have that horrible feeling that we're already living in a dystopia. The mass suicide of scientists at the moment might be presented in a different way. It's like, anyway, some nerds off themselves. And back to the, you know, what other garbage fire have we got over here, you know?
Yeah.
Which is...
And there's an awful lot of people throughout a lot of America and who wear red hats and stuff like that who are like, yep, good, another dread one.
Yeah.
You know, only good scientists is a dead scientist. They ain't asking questions no more.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far.
Well, okay. Maybe I'm, you know, going a little too far.
Because if you're talking about red iconography and we are discussing the Cultural Revolution, there's a whole different thing, like subset of things we could be discussing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's bizarre that it seems to, like, it has to kind of back away from the science and it really kind of focuses on the fantastic visual stuff. Like, what did we all think of the actual the VR world aspect of the three body, the game?
I think you got it right there in the ticket, Quinny, where you said, you know, Oculus wishes that they could do it that way. I like the idea of an immersive game, but I would not be enjoying that game.
No.
No, it's not a fun game.
No. What do you do? I go to a weird place and then they get angry at me.
It's like it's a VR it's a puzzle game for nerds.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's exactly the kind of game I would enjoy. I would play that game.
Yeah, but you're like
just a cool world with puzzles in it. Brilliant. It's basically Myst, but like,
that's what I was going to say.
Future Myst.
You were the person who liked Myst, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I went out and I pulled the lever and nothing happened on the island. I'm like, fuck this game.
Where's my gun?
Yeah. I came straight out.
You played Myst, you pulled one lever, went nah, and just stopped.
Yep. That's how it is. I mean, at least in Wolfenstein, I got to pull a lever and it opened up and there was a Nazi.
Yeah. Missed the world's most famous walk-em-up.
Yeah.
What did you do? I walked from one pleasantly rendered situation to another.
Pleasantly rendered situation and didn't know that I'd accidentally walked the wrong time of day in the wrong direction for a cave to open up to allow me to walk through the island. Like, fuck, what the hell is this game?
Let me guess, Dion, were you somebody who enjoyed text adventures when you were a kid? You know, the go north, go west.
I went west. Life was peaceful then. I needed to figure, like, in order to puzzle something out in that way, I need help. Like, I need a rail system. I'm much better for the later games. Rails. Rails work. Rails, they're fun. Have an experience. You know, I don't need to get a computer engineering degree to figure out how to play a game. I hate ARGs.
Not computer engineering, it's English.
Mm-hmm. Again, computer engineering degree.
I used to love text-based games, although by the time I was playing them, there were graphics involved. But you were still typing out the commands, like anything puzzly.
I don't know how to explain.
So aside from like the murder aspect, like I probably wouldn't have enjoyed the violence aspect of the game.
I'm going for straight escapism with games. Like the last game I played was Helldivers 2, and that is just the level I need. You know, where you run up to a control panel, and instead of typing things in, you just have to press a series of pictogram up and down arrows to make things work. And even that is challenging at times. So,
I went down a weird rabbit hole today, based on the passing of an actor who died today, who was in Happy Gilmore, of all things, but also was in a TV show back in the 90s called Maniac Mansion, which was based on one of those text adventure games from LucasArts. Yeah. So little known thing, they made a 66 episode TV show very loosely based on Maniac Mansion. So, Joe Flaherty. Thank you, Predacanga. That was my weird deep dive into text adventures and everything. Now, the only reason I ask is I feel like this show, to get back to Three Body Problem, this show was very much selling itself on visuals and big idea, or maybe not even big ideas. It was like, hey, look at these cool fantasy visuals, look at this cool sci-fi stuff, but what we're actually trying to do is give you some real fucking hard sci-fi that is probably more at home with like Foundation.
Yeah, but Foundation is fun.
Is it? No. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Foundation is very heavy. Like, I think of these all as being kind of old man sci-fis.
What are you talking about? This is heavy.
Oh, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. This is fucking heavy as shit, too. Did we enjoy it? I'm getting the feeling that this was a bit of a slog for y'all. That's a very long one.
It's not my favorite hard sci-fi of recent years. I will say that much. I actually had real kind of issues connecting with most of the characters, aside from Jin Chen, who, what's the actor's name? Kiwi actor did a lovely job. Jess Hong. She was really the only character that I really kind of wanted to get behind and connected with, and as you know, kind of having a character to connect with is key to me getting on board with something. I mean, I haven't finished the series and I don't really care that much at this stage, which is terrible. It's like I'll watch the eighth episode, like I'm not hating it, but it's like it didn't kind of grab me the way something like I mean, Foundation kind of got me in much more. There was it just kind of felt like the world building there was bigger. Somehow.
Well, I mean, it is like, I guess Foundation is more traditional science fiction. It's like planets and spaceships and big, and you know, it is classical sci-fi. This is a very different kind of sci-fi, and it's kind of. So the reason I found the book really interesting because it isn't humanistic at all, like. It's about the ideas, and you're not encouraged to really get particularly involved with the characters.
Right.
Like,
so not for me.
Yeah, it's like there are a lot of characters, and Darcy, who's Benedict Wong's character, is kind of your latch on point. But the thing that they've done with the Netflix one is really try and give you characters to latch on to. So Jack and Augie and Saul and Will, who are these, and Jin, are this group of friends.
It feels like the Famous Five grew up to be physicists.
Augie, Jack and Will, Jin and some aliens from space. And like also this... massive differences. The Augie's character is a man in the Chinese version. In fact, a lot of the characters are men in the Chinese version.
I can understand
and
the change.
They're all Chinese.
Yeah, I can understand the changes that needed to be made for this in order to make it approachable for a Western market.
I think they've done a lot to try and make it more accessible and to say this is. About people, because the book's not. The book's like, these people are physicists. They're very, very smart. They go into a simulation. They're very smart in the simulation. The simulation's weird. They're very smart. These people come up with another idea. They're also very smart. The ideas are terrifying. The alien things are terrifying. Everybody's very smart. You should all be afraid. Also, this person did something in 1960, something that is a terrible thing. And nobody really explains why.
You know, like what I really love about it is that all of the world's best physicists are so young and attractive.
This is very true.
Hey, I saw Oppenheimer. Physics is hot.
Where do you think in the case of Augie, like distractingly, unrealistically attractive.
Yeah. Well, how else do you think we got the Big Bang? Come on, man.
I did find her a really odd... casting choice. Like there are a couple of times where she was going somewhere doing something and I was like, you're very, very attractive, and I know that attractive people can be incredibly smart, and I just didn't buy her as a genius physicist who had, you know, created nanofilament wires and also the okay, there's a scene in episode 5, and everybody who's seen this will talk about episode 5 as being the thing that people go, holy fuck. And I won't say what happens in it. We'll talk about that in spoilers. But there is, like, somebody's involved with that. There's a character involved with that, and you think, how? Mm. How could any normal person just go, oh, yeah, let's do that?
I have a lot to say about that when we get to the Butt-wise. But yeah, I didn't. It's not that I didn't buy her. It's just like she's just distractingly attractive, and it was just distracting. Mm. It was just like, oh, there is that like super, super, super hot woman, just hanging with these scientists.
Mm. Hey, they're all hot.
I mean, they're all hot
in their own way. Like Samuel Tarly is sexy in his you know.
They're all young and attractive. It's just that she's like, you know, Chanel perfume model attractive.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There's a point where she wears underwear. Like, I think she's throwing up because she's drunk or something. And I know that it's meant to be look how badly she's, you know, treating herself and she's throwing up because she's been drinking too much and everything. And I felt like I was watching a really weird underwear commercial.
But, like, not to be dicks about it, I actually, you know, I thought I liked that character and I liked her performance. Just, you know, she's just unrealistically attractive for a normal human being. But that's definitely not my biggest complaint. And I would love to get to the butt wise so that I can make my complaints without messing it for anyone.
What did you enjoy?
I just want to say Rob makes a really good point there that what we probably needed was a few more scenes at the start of them actually being brilliant.
Yeah.
Because we're told that they're very smart scientists and brilliant and they do this, that, and the other. But
they went to Oxford and stuff.
Yes.
Yes. So, all right. Think of things like good things about it that are non-spoilery. What did you enjoy? And then we can do our ratings and stuff. I'm going to say I really enjoyed the length of the episodes were just that right amount to stop me from turning off before going to the next one. Because if it had gone any longer, I would have been like, oh, this is not, you know, great. And while it does take a little while to ramp up and it is literally like this is the one you have to give 5 or 6 episodes to, when it gets going, it doesn't shy away from the concept that it introduces. Like, I actually really kind of enjoyed that, is that, like, once it commits, it's committed. It's fully committed, and you're going with it. And if you're not going to go with it, you will either leave or you will get on board and be like, sure, we're doing this weird thing. It's not as – I don't think it's as successful as another show like For All Mankind, which I find a really great, tense space show. Whereas this one isn't really tense because there are a lot of disparate characters. You don't really know who you're supposed to follow. So it makes it difficult because of this idea of peril for characters doesn't exist. And I think that the overall peril narrative is mainly about, you're right, as you said earlier, Q, concepts. Like, it's a perilous concept. And that's why we're all trying to figure it out. And maybe that's disheartening. But it's a bit of a mess. But you know, hey, then it takes big, massive turns and just does weird shit like episode 5, where you're like, oh, this is just horror. Like, oh my God, that's not great. And then it does other weird, like horror thriller elements. But then I'll say it later. Like, I've got to hold off or I'm going to give a spoiler, but I am frustrated by very one thing, which I must take to the next section. And as such, I shall rate it 65. I'm going to watch 4 Body Problem or 5 Body Problem.
Well, the next one will probably be called the Dark Forest.
Well, that's not fun. Don't change the name of the series halfway through.
Well, that's the name of the second book. And have you heard of the Dark Forest theory of aliens?
Sure.
Okay, I'll give you this little thing and you can kind of go, oh, okay, right.
Is it a spoiler?
This is why it is the darkest that it is. The dark forest theory of alien contact is a bit like when people go out into the woods, like if you send a scout out into the woods in wartime. That scout goes out into the woods with no light, and they don't want to run into anyone else because if they run into somebody else, they're either going to have to kill them or they'll be killed. And the best possible option is going out and seeing somebody and them not seeing you and you coming back and telling people and saying, we shouldn't go that way. This is the Dark Forest theory of alien contact. Why has nobody contacted us? Because everybody is shit scared that if they meet somebody else, they're just going to have to kill them. And that's kind of where this is going. So there's a happy thought for you for the next one. Pete, ratings?
Well, it's different. You know, it's definitely, you know, a sci-fi kind of concept. that I haven't seen before in terms of, you know, where the real thrust of the jeopardy, as you said, in the storytelling, you know, being in the concepts and not in the immediate. You know, usually you get, you know, yeah, usually with this kind of thing, it's more about action and less about thought. And there's like this very high concept, which I do, you know, usually enjoy. But as I said, you know, not getting on board with the characters and kind of all the way through. Like I really only watched the next episode because we were going to talk about it. If I'm going to be completely honest, if I was just watching this to watch it, I wouldn't have got seven episodes in by now. Like I might be kind of, you know, I might have kind of got one or two eps in and kind of gone, I might look at that. Like, I'm not mad, but, you know, maybe I'll look at that some more later. Like it just didn't grab me. I will watch episode 8 because, you know, I've got this far in and I kind of want to see how they actually do tie it up. And I don't have major complaints aside from some butt wires that are going to come. And also I did not like that episode 5 stuff because, as you know, I dislike body horror. I don't have major complaints, but I also didn't love it. So where does that sit on the scale for me? Probably also around a 65. Like I'm not mad. It's just like it just really didn't grab me. I okay. was not looking forward to watching the next episode as we went through.
I've got the thing of having expectations and having ideas and having a desire to see this because, you know, I've read a book that made me think in a new and different way. I've, you know, wanted to see what would be done with this. So I come in with a different set of parameters and it's fascinating and it's really interesting seeing what a production company will do to try and make something more palatable. But then at its heart, it remains the same very strange bitter pill. And as such, I think it's like, I'm probably up with Elska around the 84, 85 mark. I think it does a very good job of adapting what it is. And I think if you attempted to actually adapt the novel, you get a 30 episode Chinese TV series that, you know, is fairly fucking hard to wrap your head around because it's bleak. It's bleak as fuck. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, are we just lambs to the slaughter? Are we, you know, the you know, what are we in the grand scheme of things? But if you're willing to kind of follow that train of thought, it's really interesting. So yeah, I feel like the Netflix one does a very good job of doing that in a relatively accessible way, but at the same time it's still fucking weird. So yeah, 85 from me, but I'm finding it hard to find a way to say to people, hey, you should totally watch this because it's a great fun watch.
I think another successful thing about it before we move on is that it worked really well dumping it all at once, because I think if it was episodic, like other shows, people would probably have dropped off. This one, I feel like it's aimed at the people who have, like, it's a rainy day, you wake up, you're just going to start watching something in a bit, like, you know, get in there and like watch everything as people do, you know. Netflix is sort of counting on that factor rather than just
Think this could work in a week to week thing. No, I don't think people would.
If there was a delay in it, I don't think it's got enough legs. It's an overall series, not a episodic series.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's go to a clip. Let's talk about that for a bit and we'll come back and get into the spoilers and the butt wires.
Yeah, let's get talk about VR. Vrr.
There's no screen. There's no headphone jack. There's not even a fucking charging port. And usually there'd be logos all over it if it was a Sony or Oculus or whatnot. It's probably a beta tester.
No, this is not beta anything. You don't understand. This was indistinguishable from reality.
Do you need a password or anything to log in?
No, you just put it on.
Okay. Holy shit. This is fucking mental. This is... Fuck!
You were not invited.
Oh, yes, there we go. Oh.
Oh, my fucking throat.
Ah, shit. Ah, shit balls. I got cut. All right, I better put up the spoiler logo now that we're in the spoiler section. Oh, straight over Pete's face. Sorry, Pete.
That's it. Pete, your butt wise are spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers from here. No, move the other way. There we go. Let's get out. Let's put over Quinny's face. No, we'll just put it over here.
No, can't get me. Nope. Nah.
Sorry that you think I'd have set up earlier, but no. All right.
Why?
Because aliens, Pete.
But no, but why? Why the body horror ghost ship moment? I don't understand how it achieved.
Because no,
how doing that would achieve their goal. I don't understand.
Look. It's all you got to know is
there is a reason. But...
Science is awesome, and when you make science stuff with your science brain, you can use it to murder people in new and innovative ways.
But they established that they weren't being protected anymore. So at that stage, it's just a ship. Just stop it like you would stop a fucking ship, like. And also, if you're like, oh, but we don't want to like damage the intel. You don't know if the intel is going to be cut in half by one of your weird wires. You don't know where it is. Like, what?
That's the thing.
What?
Even in the book, that was like, at least in the book, they take the time to go, this is a calculated risk. We need to kill people as quickly and as cleanly as possible. And we need the wires to be far enough apart that the disk drive is most likely not going to be damaged. And even in the book, you're like, that's a big fucking what if.
I mean, it's just dumb. I mean, most of this stuff is dumb. And here's coming back to now is my big problem that I have with the series is, once they establish that the aliens or the Santi, yes, it's aliens, folks. Sorry, spoiler.
Oh, sorry, aliens.
Yeah, aliens. Aliens have, like, yeah, we've reached out, we made contact, and aliens went, hey, you've contacted us, you know, how you doing? It's like, yeah, come to our planet, and we want you, it's fine. And they've gone, cool, so we're going to come and take, you know, basically fuck you guys up.
I love that part where they reach out to them, because I think that's the most, that was the thing that hooked me. In the book, was when somebody says, I'm going to send a message to the aliens, and the aliens message back and say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Don't contact us again. You're fucking lucky that you got me, because anyone else would have killed you.
Yeah, which is immediately.
And she goes, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, do it again. Fuck you guys. I also love the fact that they established there's two logic bombs that fuck up this whole thing with me. One is the aliens. They're from a collectivist society where they all think and they don't lie to each other. So why are there pacifists who would actively keep a secret? What? Like, you've just... But why? And then the other one is, as it's been established, there are supercomputers that are basically controlling the Earth, and all the aliens can hear everything and everything at once. Why do they not just control Earth now? Like, you know, they're just sitting around like, oh, you can protect me. They see all, they know all. It's like, yeah. And then they just stop and they stop doing shit. And it's just like, I don't understand why this is a problem now. They literally have technology that could make it impossible for you to rebel and literally control the planet at all times. And then they're just kind of like, yeah, it's fine.
I think the power of what the aliens can do is very much unexplained. Unquantified? Sorry?
Unquantified?
Unquantified, yes. And yes. When they do give them a limitation, it's like, this is a limitation. You're like, oh, cool. Okay. Do they
just
have any others?
Just that maybe? One. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a limitation? Nah. Not yeah. really.
They can contact us in real time. Apparently, they can create a virtual reality simulation that is capable of creating an entirely different universe that explains.
They can make people hallucinate.
They can make the entire universe blink on and off.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, like, how did those, like, the explanation of those proton computer things, I don't know how that then translates to, and we can make the entire sky of the Earth appear to do something. Like, it doesn't. What?
Yeah, the sophons are one of those things where you're like,
what?
So it's a super powerful, infinitely large computer that has been reduced down to the size of an atom that can be virtually anywhere at once, but there's two of them, and therefore they can't be everywhere at once. So they have to be doing, like, you know, they said at one point, oh, well, if we ran, like, super collisions through the super colliders every second of every day, we could possibly keep one of them occupied. Right.
But then at the same time, it's like, oh, it could also create illusions for the entire planet where the, like, stars blink on and off. Like, but how is that, like, how?
Yeah.
Is that within, like, everybody in the world's ocular nerves? In which case, how is computer, like, fucking with your retinas the way, like, with the numbers? Also, if it's just a computer in a cell, how? How is that do? And then, and then when it, like, mirrors everything in the sky, it's like, how is that do? Did the proton computers, did they become big again to do that? Or, and if the proton computers can indeed become big, then why aren't they just encasing the entire world and being like, we squash you like bugs now. We won't wait 400 years, as Dion said.
My only question is, where do all the calculators go?
Silicon heavens.
You know.
Sorry, the nanowires, which were, like, supposed to, like, you know, help poor people who didn't have things. But how? I don't understand how the nanowires were ever supposed to be anything except for weapons. Like, because she's like, oh, I did it to, like, help people, for, like, people in need.
They are infinitely strong and infinitely thin, so you could conceivably make indestructible fabrics or something from them. I don't really understand.
I don't see how that helps, like, the average person on the street who's struggling, which it seems to be like. And then she's like, "Oh, and I'm just going to release this technology." I'm like, don't give that fucking technology to everyone. That's super dangerous.
That's a terrible idea.
That's how you get a Johnny Mnemonic whip thumb.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Or Rob's saying that it can filter water to get the microbe germs out. Okay, but it just seems dangerous. Dangerous. It just seems that they were just being like, no, this is a cutting device. This is just a cutting of anything device. Well, and now, you know, everyone can have one.
It can slice all the microbes.
Yeah. And I think one of the ideas in that was perhaps that monofilament may be one of the few things that could actually endanger a sophon, which is why they wanted to stop the science being done on that. That's my guess. I don't really know. As I say, I've only read the first book. There's elements from the second and third books in this. So,
look, I could butt wire myself into, like, an early retirement with all of the things here, but, like, I'm willing to give things a go. I enjoyed some of the craziness. Like, I like some of the religious fundamentalism. Like, there's a really interesting subplot, I think, that's been thrown in there as well, or been raised up, I think, a bit more about dogma and fundamentalism and acceptance of ideas without you know, because that's just the way it's going to happen. Like the inevitability of something does not mean that you need to give in to it. So, like, there's a couple of, like, you know, starting stuff up in the Cultural Revolution and, you know, resisting. There's a theme of resistance that runs through it. You know, then you've got, you know, aliens are coming and some people are trying to, you know, basically promote that because it'll be fun. Like, I'm happy to be a pet, basically. And other people going,
you're
going to
come and fix all our problems. Fucking sweet.
Yeah. And then they're not. They're really not.
Like, that was also a leap.
Well, that they're going to come and fix all our problems.
That was a massive leap.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think that one came, like, the message back was just like, no, like a disillusion with the life and the way things are going and seeing all of the problems that are there. No wonder she was like, no, fuck it. We don't deserve this.
Like, it's really interesting because in the Chinese version and in the book, there is a real question about that character whose name I just need to look up so I get it right. Yi Wenji. There's a question as to whether or not she may be on the autism spectrum as well. And her, I guess her trauma at seeing her family, you know, utterly demolished by the Cultural Revolution, really, you know, it's a fucking difficult thing to explain why somebody would do something that is so obviously destructive. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a real tough one to kind of latch your head onto. And then in this one, it's just like, she did that. And she's been leading this group. Oh, but now that group, you're like, what? Very weird. It's very confusing. And I don't, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, which camp do you fall on? Are you like, yeah, aliens will be fine. They can come and help us. Or like, yeah, humanity will work it out. We need to, like, you know, really ramp up our scientific experimentation. Pity we've got these two omnipresent supercomputers that are watching every move. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Kind of. That do things occasionally when they feel like it, that are supposed to be controlling everyone, but don't really.
Well, at the very least, we know that they're definitely holding back scientific advancement. Like that's their main job, is to fuck with scientific experiments to make sure that we can never trust any of the results of any experiment ever. That's their main role.
Yeah, so they're basically like social media for science.
Yes.
Creates so many different results that they're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Does this really explain why they were recruiting scientists either?
So they didn't have to kill them, maybe? I don't
know. Well, you do. It's your war on two fronts you got there, Pete. You either can, like, basically make them crazy and hate everything, or you give them the actual explanation and then go, but if you're part of us, you're on the good side, hey?
One of us. But then, like, the whole, like, oh, they're probably, like, the idea of, like, oh, we're, like, on your side till we find out that you're capable of lying, and now you're bugs.
Yes.
When one of them initially said, no, they will come and destroy you. Like,
see?
Were they coming? Like, and they can't, like, it just doesn't, yeah, there was just.
And I, having not read the following two books, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was one of the things that they are perhaps going to explore, is the concept of disharmony or disunion within the Santé. Because, as you say, like the first message is a lie. It's somebody saying, don't contact us again. We're dangerous.
Yeah.
So,
but is that a lie or was that the truth?
And do we know that
but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that's one of those things I do think I'm willing to give that a moment to go, okay, let's find out whether that does play out, because there are things that I feel like may be but wise that may be answered later, or there are things that feel like massive fucking plot holes that may actually be things to be explored. But then, you know, there's other things you're like, so they just shot a dude's brain off into the space. Wonder whether he's going to come back.
Or like, you've got $20 million. Buy a star as a romantic gesture. Just give her the $20 million. I would prefer the 20. Like, if anyone's like wondering.
Yeah.
If anyone's wondering, the $20 million would be my choice there.
If you ever want to know, like, how do you create a beeline to someone's heart, give them $20 million.
That'd do it.
I'm pretty sure that they'd be like, yep, that's fine.
I bought a star for you. Technically, you don't own it, and it's actually not really – I mean, it's much like those Scottish lordships. But I spent $20 million on it. That is a pretty surefire way to make somebody go, you're an idiot.
Fucking moron.
I don't think you're attractive at all.
It's like people selling like parcels of land on the moon. That's based in a false economy. Whatever.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a made up drug.
It ends in a really weird place too. And this is stuff that I know that you haven't watched the last episode, Pete, but I'll let you know this now. It doesn't have a great resolution.
Asshole. Really? Shocked. Color me shocked watching this series going, oh, and it doesn't end well because it doesn't end well either narratively or for a lot of characters.
Mm.
At least a kid, they had enough, you know, chutzpah to just go, yeah, fuck it. Do you like this character? Dead. Do you like this one? Dead. Do you like this other one? Dead. You know, this one, ooh, yeah. Super dead in a grisly way.
Yeah. Did you feel like maybe you got, you know, really invested in any of these? Fuck you. Don't care about anyone.
But this is what I was saying. Like, I didn't know who to follow, and I was following the wrong people. So when things happened like this, and I was like, oh, yeah, that kid dead. Why were we focusing on this person? Why was this character given all those lines and dialogues and action, like not action scenes, but like scenes where you explained and you understood and you formed a connection, and then, fuck, I'm dead.
Yeah. The one that really got me, and as we sort of talked about in the non-spoilery bit, what fucking world would Augie be involved with the nanofilament evisceration of hundreds of people? Like, there was no point in that where I thought, oh yeah, I can see any indication that her you know, worldview would allow for that to be done. A straight up fucking horror show killing men, women, and children. Like that one, I just couldn't wrap my head around. Like in the book, the character whose name I can't remember because it's one of numerous Chinese scientists, sorry.
There's a lot of scientists.
There are so many scientists. Can't remember. Like at the very least, there you kind of go, they're not presented in a particularly sympathetic way. They aren't, you know, somebody that you particularly think, oh, yeah, I want to hang out with them or anything. And so their coldness, you can kind of buy the fact that, oh, yeah, no, they may actually just go, this is the best way to get a hard drive by killing everybody horrifically. But, yeah, that one I really fucking struggled with in this.
I struggled with a few different things, but, like, overall, you know, they're giving it a crack. It's still got some fun bits in it to watch. Like, every time Benedict Wong's on screen, you're like, this will be cool. I did kind of like that. I also, you know, like the fact that Liam Cunningham's character is just a fucking driven asshole. So it works. I mean, it just really works because he's just basically, you're all idiots. Like, fucking just do what I say. Like, and also, what's happening? And then when he finds out, he's like, fuck, aliens.
Yeah. Right. I'm not a good person, but I'm perhaps the only person to do this. And I'm going to make myself the only person to do this because I'm going to fucking, what was it? I'm just going to freeze myself and thaw myself out for 1 week a year, come out of hibernation, fix all of your fuck-ups, go and watch Wimbledon, say hi to my wife and go back into the fucking thing. That'll allow me to live for 400 years, so I'm ready to fight these fuckers when they show up. Like, wow.
I mean, at least it's giving us an idea of, like, how they can do time jumps in the next few seasons and how do you get, like, how do you create a tension over a narrative that's set of 400 years of human evolution without the ability to, you know, freeze central characters or have them jump through time.
Yeah, though if Liam Cunningham's your main central character that you're sticking around with, that's going to be a tough watch too.
Yeah,
he's not a pleasant dude.
No, but this is the whole point. Like, I was watching other people and then they all started dying and I'm like, oh, fuck, who have I got to latch onto now? Well, Liam's doing it. Like, he seems to be the one. He's going to be there till the end when they're fighting the aliens, so... Go, yeah. Terrible man in charge of things.
I do love it's actually, thank you, Predakanga. That's exactly it. It felt very Ender's Game to me. So I had, when I was reading this, I had a very similar feeling to the
child
when
soldiering.
I was, sorry?
Just with less child soldiering.
Is there? I mean, who knows? Maybe that'll be in one of the later books. But like, I remember having a similar feeling with this that I was like, ah, okay, so this is a, you know, sci-fi from a very different perspective instead of it being, you know, the space opera superhero-y kind of one man defeats the giant evil empire. This is about, okay, how can people operate in a totally different way? We're still technically one man defeats giant evil empire. But weird. And this is humanity as a species can possibly come out ahead. Maybe we're bugs. I don't know.
And is that your final review?
I don't know. Pete, do you have anything to add?
But
any more butt-wise?
I just want to keep going over the previous butt-wise because I still don't have the answers.
Okay.
Well, let us try and give you your three body solutions to your three but why problems.
But why the ship? But why? But why just do normal military action at that stage? Like if the information is like their Bible, they're not going to destroy it. I don't. But why? Anyway, No, that's about it.
Okay.
That's about it. I mean, I got through my main butt-wise. Really just needed to get them off my chest.
Excellent.
You know? Just needed to just, you know, it feels good to just say it out loud.
Will you be seeking out the Chinese version?
No. Sorry. No. I've probably had a kind of enough of this. I'll see how I go with episode 8, whether I would, you know, eventually watch another series. Looking for something a bit different in my sci-fi. I've gone off for All Mankind as well. Like if I'm wanna like, yeah, I know, it's terrible, isn't it? I'm in the mood for lighter sci-fi currently. You know?
Well,
I'm in the mood for a bit of Strange New Worlds. I'm in, you know, yep. I'm in the mood for a bit of the old Orville. You know, maybe some comedy sci-fi. I'm just
unfortunately,
you know,
you'll be waiting a long time for the Orville.
Yeah, I know.
Have you tried?
Not my headspace.
Have you tried Resident Alien?
I have not, and I think that that might not be along the lines of what I have just.
Oh, visited. I think it may be. very light.
I think that's very much down your thing. Of like, oh, light regional comedy can multi-screen.
The Predakanga in the chat is suggesting Hello Tomorrow, which I did start watching because I really like the aesthetic. But even that, I started to find a little bit depressing just because, you know, people being awful. But I would like to kind of get a little bit back into that. And
that's the pretty, that one.
Just started watching Morning Wars. Weirdly, I'm like catching up on that one at the moment because even that was too heavy for me when it first got released. I was like, oh no, Me Too stuff. Like, no.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No.
Morning Wars is great, but it's also, yeah, fucking, it's a little bit hard. Hey, there's in a couple of weeks, you've got a Fallout.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that, but yeah.
I think it could be that lighter touch, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone has any other, you know, lighter sci-fi suggestions for me, I would be.
Can I go wrong with X-Men 97?
Absolutely.
Which is coming up later this week.
It's coming up tonight.
A month. No, later this month for us to review.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of lighthearted romps through the jungle, what are we doing next week?
That's a real good question. I don't actually know. We're doing... Oh, God. Yes, I do. I just looked it up.
Jesus. How did you miss that? Yes, it's Monkey Punch Lizard.
Two.
No, just Monkey Punch Lizard again. not Godzilla V Kong. It's Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah. Well, what does the X stand for? Is it them kissing?
It's X gonna give it to her. Yep. Come watch the giant Thanos fist monkey beat the new hair-did lizard, or whether or not that's what actually happened. It's next month. Next week.
I'm looking forward to going and seeing that, actually. I'm always down for a big giant monster. I quite enjoyed Monarch. That whole series was a bit fun.
You know, you're not going to get less out of it from watching Monarch. But you will have just a bit of an understanding of some background shit that's there. Like some of it, you won't have to make a giant leap in your brain because you're like, oh, that's because of Monarch, right? You'll be like, oh, sure. But it does have someone end up playing just having the best fucking time knowing that they're in a film which is about a monkey punching a lizard. Dan Stevens. Having the absolute best time understanding that it doesn't matter what he does, no one is there to see him, which is great. It's,
you know, you actually
great.
Just almost sold me on actually going to see that film.
He is free to do whatever he wants because the
I kind of like Dan Stevens having fun.
The headliner is King Kong and Godzilla hitting each other. He just is there going, isn't this great? What a great movie I'm in. I don't even have to be here. Like, he's just like, I'm having a great time. I feel like it's the, what was the actor who bought the house? It's like, oh, I didn't see that film, but I saw the house that I bought.
Oh, Jaws 3.
Jaws 3, yeah.
Michael Caine
or something.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, yeah, Michael Caine. Yes. Like, oh, I didn't see it, but I saw the house that it bought. Yeah, it's kind of, that's Dan Stevens. He's like, I love this, you know?
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. I'm very keen to see why monkey get gauntlet, see why lizard go pink.
They explain. It's all explained.
So long as monkey punch lizard and lizard go rah.
Why monkey? Why monkey punch? What monkey do?
and the more we talk about this, the more I see Peter's eyes glazing over. Yeah. Like they lit up when we mentioned Dan Stevens and having a good time. And then the more we talk monkey punch, she's just...
Yeah, look, I mean, just take some popcorn, take snacks and be like... Yeah, Pete, half of the movie you could probably, like, with all the punching, you could do your taxes or something. But, you know, when Dan Stevens is on there, you could be like, oh, great. Do more joke. Yeah, Dan Stevens. Joke.
I will also remind you, I don't know whether you actually got into it, but the new series of Star Trek Discovery is coming out as well, starting April 4th. And I've watched the first 5 episodes because Paramount sent them to me. And it continues to be Star Trek Discovery.
Interesting.
If you like that, that's cool. Yes. If you don't like that, it's more of that.
I quite enjoyed Discovery Season 1 and then Discovery Season 2. And then I'm confused as to why.
Yes. This is the final season for Discovery. It is getting no more. And I'm kind of like, hey, so when's we getting more of that good Strange New World?
How strange. Yes, it's a
what study.
Next week is Godzilla X Kong, go see it in the cinema, and then get onto the streaming to watch X-Men 97, and then another streaming on back to Netflix to watch The Gentleman. Yes, which is
which I have been watching as well. It's from my hospital beds, from my haze of drugs, and that seemed all the more appropriate.
And there's a bunch of movies and other stuff coming out too, like there's a Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, there's a whole bunch of other things coming out this month too.
The Fall Guy,
we'll
be going and having a look at, which is very exciting.
How do you fall?
I don't know, guy. And you went and watched Monkey Man.
I did. I went yesterday and watched Monkey Man, which is the Dev Patel written and directed and starring action film.
Okay.
No, it's definitely an action film. It's just a different beat. I think they got a lot out of the produced by Jordan Peele on that one.
Right.
Hey, I will have to write something about that or do it something at another time quickly to explain that one. But yeah, that is in cinemas from today. So you can go and see Monkey Man.
Nice. Excellent.
All right.
Well,
thanks, Quinny. Nice to have you back. Hope you're feeling better.
I am. There is the uncomfortable thing of sitting in chairs for long periods of time is not so much fun.
Yeah, you should do some squats.
I have been doing so many squats. Lots of physiotherapy and stuff like that. But I am now part of your robot overlord, so...
Damn it, all my friends are getting titanium as they get older. I'm getting mad about
it. Titanium.
Yeah, you know the quality of your friends by the amount of heavy metals in their bodies.
Pete, join us. Come on, get some kind of metal implant. It'll be cool. Metal.
Get that Kanye grills. Like it's just titanium on your top row of teeth. I think that'll suit you perfectly.
Right, let's go and raid. Yeah, all right. Totally.
Thanks for going raid Hex. In the chat. See you all next Tuesday.
Aha. Yeah, we'll go and raid some Hex. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.